This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are talking about our trip to Doucix, chatting with Jeff Vandertuck, all while sipping some hazy IPA from Sketchbook Brewing in Evanston, and we dive into Motor Row, Haymarket, and some of the events happening for Illinois Craft Beer Week. These last 3 weeks, OE, what'd you make it to?
Yeah, because, you know, it's got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're not in a cellar.
No, we're not in the beer cellar. We're not in Pilsen.
Yeah.
We are back here at the studio, at the Loose Key Studios, doing our thing, man.
Yeah, drinking beer, talking about beer, we're going to drink.
Is this Studio A in the Loose Key Studio?
Yeah, there's only an A. There's only one. There's only an A. There's a remote studio, I guess, in Michigan, but that's just another house.
Right on.
So if you missed last week's episode, go back and check that out. It was with Jeff Vandertuck.
It's a doozy.
Yeah. We were down in the beer cellar talking about everything Doucix has going on, and as well as the Punch House and Talia Hall and just their pretty awesome beer program.
Yeah, I wanted to. I think we were talking about how, like, you know, he's got an interesting play because he's able to, like, sell a bunch of mainline beers from breweries. And that allows him to get access to really cool one-off beers from those breweries, you know, from the volume that he does in Talula Hall. That's pretty cool. And then the fact that it's a Michelin star restaurant, I think it's overlooked because it's not super casual, but it's more casual than most Michelin star places.
Right, for sure.
You know, and yeah, and he goes pretty deep into the beer list there. We had that Parabola 2015, which is a really nice.
That was tasting better than I thought it might taste.
So yeah, yeah. There's like just a nice little tapestry of flavors going on, like melded for you, nice and mellow. It was delightful. I was pounding it. I felt bad. I was like, yo, this is a 15% beer. But it was rolling so smooth, you know.
Yeah. After we recorded that, we went upstairs and we had dinner. I went with the rabbit.
Yeah, man, you guys went and got this fried rabbit. And you know what's funny is that everyone's kind of laughing. I'm like, yo, so is there a rabbit farm? And everybody's just kind of like blowing it off, and I was like, no, really, where are they getting
these? Yeah, they gotta buy these rabbits from somewhere. Someone's out there hunting the rabbits.
Fried rabbit, I think I went with
the Juicy Lucy.
I went with the Juicy Lucy,
and then we were drinking Miller High Lifes.
Yeah, we rolled High Lifes. Yeah, I think they had a pastry stout on from 51st Ward that we got into. Mm-hmm. We got into the Dovetail Lager as well as that Parabola 15. I think those were the ones we got into. Yeah. Oh, Maeve got the
From Moody Tongue, the
it was like the caramelized banana Hef or something.
She dug it, not as like banana-y and sweet as you might think, or I think she thought it was going to be more dessert-y, but yeah. No, it was a good beer.
Yeah, right on. So,
but that was the interview on the last episode. You know, we just recapped it now, so but still,
shit.
Like, go back and listen to it. We did not share all the stuff like Jeff shared with us, so worth the listen.
It's worth the listen, and then he goes into his programs more and his philosophy behind beer, which is pretty cool. So,
Awesome. Well, we always kick off the show here with a beer that we're drinking, and we're always drinking local new beer. And this time we have from Sketchbook, their hazy IPA. Uh oh, I'm spilling. This is the Insufficient Clearance.
This is the beer that landed them on the blind tasting list for Paste.
Okay.
For their top 20 or 50 or whatever IPAs.
Right. We've had the Orange Door on previously before the branding all got switched up and new fancy abstracty here.
Yeah, the Beetle they're calling the new.
Oh, is that the?
That's an in-house name for the new logo.
The Beetle. Okay.
The Beetle. Yeah, Sketchbook up in Evanston. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a 5% hazy IPA. Nice. Finishes nice and dry finish.
It's more, I guess, weird word, but it's more hazy. It's not that juicy. It's not juicy. It tastes more like your typical IPA than it does like mimosa.
It's got more what you would, you know, usually the beer integrity, right? Like it's not reminiscent of like the mimosa or the milkshake, like some of those extreme hazy ones are.
Yeah.
This is first and foremost a beer that happens like... And
that
then
is hazy.
It is a beer that is hazy. Yeah. Correct.
It's more, rather than a hazy IPA, maybe it's an unfiltered IPA would be a better...
In today's climate, yeah. Just like this is just unfiltered IPA.
Because, yeah, when you see hazy IPA, you're going to think... milkshake mimosa now.
So. Yeah, I love the pronounced hop presence there. You know,
in like, this one.
Yeah, especially for it to be like it's 5%, but it's not like it's not one of those things that you would just. It's not crushable. You still sit down and sip it like you would an IPA.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
But this was canned, I believe, a couple months ago, so it's still pretty fresh. So yeah. I'm digging it. Probably make it through all four of these cans. I'm sure. Cool. All right, so that was last week's episode. That's what we're drinking.
Right on.
What else happened last week? Anything you make it to, or even the week before, because we didn't even get to talk about maybe some of our stops.
Yeah, because we were full frontal Deucix when we have a guest on. Mm-hmm. We're going to be having a few more guests on. I'm excited about this, man.
I guess to tease that up front here, we had Around the Bend next week. And then
is that next week?
That's next week. Damn. They'll be here in the studio.
Right on.
And then we're going to go to Forbidden Root.
Yeah, we're going to be on location.
Yeah.
All across the nation.
Yeah. Very cool. So, this past couple weeks, what have you been up to? Where have you been drinking?
Man, you know, I got over to Haymarket on Good Friday. Yeah. Still not sure what happened Good Friday. Because on Easter, he comes back. But I think is that the whole cross thing and getting nailed to it? That happened on Good Friday?
Yeah.
Because the term Good Friday confused me. I was like, man, I know this. I knew this at one point. Nah, I forgot.
It's
like,
not good.
Yeah. I'm like, this doesn't sound very good at all. I was over there, man. Love that place. They're the anchor for everything you see that happened over there. They were there first.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The West Restaurant Row, arguably the best collection of restaurants in any neighborhood. Haymarket was there in the beginning, like, so 2010 now.
Okay.
I got Angry Birds. I was excited to see that on tap.
Nice.
And then I also got the, there's a black IPA with cherries called the Commander Dancer.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
It was fantastic.
Okay.
It was really good from them. Trevor is the head brewer over there. So Pete, I think, kind of rotates between the two, kind of makes sure production is running up in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of these recipes now that we're seeing are from their... I don't know what his official title is, but he's got to be one of the head brewers over there. He's not the brewmaster. That's Pete Crowley, but yeah.
But Pete might be the brewmaster at the other Haymarket.
Or that one.
I don't know all the titles and all the official ranking. No one's wearing stripes or anything.
It was good to be at Haymarket. I haven't been since the Claire's Thirsty Ale release.
Okay.
So, you know, I think, you know, it's one of my favorite spots. It's one of my favorite spots in West Loop, one of my favorite breweries probably in the city, I think.
Okay.
So just a fun place. Just fun, solid, easygoing place. And then, you know, their whole model of the Haymarket and a lot of their beers being named after events that happened in Haymarket Square. And then, you know, their pricing structure is built into their plan where it's like, hey, we're going to always keep affordable prices for like those working man prices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just an overall solid project and it's right downtown. You can't really say that about a lot of breweries. What else is downtown? Ely. Ely's got a brewery downtown.
Rock Bottom.
Mm-hmm. Haymarket.
Yeah.
Or Cruz Blanca.
And Cruz Blanca. Yeah. But that's still West Loop.
That's West Loop.
So not really downtown. It's not on this, I guess I want to say this side of the expressway, but we're actually on the other side right now. But it's on the other side of the expressway.
Yeah, Haymarket is on the east side of Halsted. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I ended up there.
Nice.
That was nice.
So on Good Friday, he did that.
On Good Friday, and then on Easter Sunday.
Yeah. So maybe Good Friday is when they put him in the tomb. I forget, you know.
Yeah, it's all very it's not very clear. I forget what happened.
Yeah.
I know he can't. I know he has risen. I knew that.
Or disappeared.
Dude, and there's a Sound Growler. Sound Growler Brewery in Tinley Park has a beer called He Has Risen.
Yeah.
And it's a full-on, like, Jesus is smoking, like, this hemp pipe. And it's He Has Resin, like, you know, like the oil from.
Yeah, did you tweet that or did your girl tweet that?
I think Afro Beer Chick tweeted that.
Okay.
I was like, yo, this shit, that's got to be some West Coast shit. She's like, no, that's Sound Growler in Tinley Park.
Man.
I'm like.
In the Bible Belt here.
I got to know what's going on with this beer now. Yeah. Oh, but on Easter Sunday, I ended up at Motor Row because I haven't been there in forever, man.
Okay.
You know, Sunday was a good day to go. Motor Row is, you know, it's a super small neighborhood that runs basically from 22nd Street to the expressway, which is like 25th Street. So we're talking like three blocks.
Okay.
It's historically significant because, the McCormick Place is there. So it's a entertainment district. And the auto show is always there. And then come to find out that the reason the auto show was there is because before it took its original home at fucking McCormick Place, it was a parade that ran up and down Motor Row.
Oh, interesting.
Motor Row's a 3-mile stretch at the turn of the century. Then, you know, the we're in the whatever, you know, the 1900s, whatever century that was.
The previous century.
The previous century. It's it was home to car dealerships for like a 3-mile stretch, right? And that's where the name came from. So this is you know, the place that would turn like your Ford Model T into a pickup truck is where Motor Row resides, right?
Okay.
So we're getting this full history lesson on Motor Row, and we're catching up with them because I haven't seen them. Well, we had Frank on the show. We had their brewmaster on the show.
Yeah, that was, I don't know, maybe a year ago now.
Yeah.
It starts to get hazy.
He's wild. Frank is nuts, by the way. He's a great guy. I love it. It was a good show. I like that show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're talking about Motor Row, and they were saying, like, I'm like, so what's been up? And they were like, man, we really need to change the way, we need to change our perception locally because, like, people see our brewery and they're not familiar with this little neighborhood we're in.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, Motor Row, you guys must be from Detroit.
That's right. Yeah. You think Motor City.
You think the Motor City. Yeah. Right. And, you know, they were saying like, and, you know, they used to be called Broad Shoulders.
Right.
And, you know, so they're like, man, a lot of the stories out there about them reference them as Broad Shoulders. So they're just like, you know, hey, these are some of the things we're working on.
Okay. Right? So they need a push. I feel like a lot of those Southside breweries need a little bit of a push, a little love, right? Because they kind of, you know, we're at no fault. We're here on the north side, so we often forget about them. Not I don't want to say forget. We just don't make it to them.
Yeah, it's yeah. And then they're in a unique position where, you know, there's a chance. They're always talking up the breweries around them. You know, like Vice District and Baderbrow, and even extended like Lagunitas and the Bridgeport breweries.
Yeah,
because they really want to get like that. People, they get so many conferences from McCormick Place that they really want to direct people to, you know, where, how they can go brewery hop.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. So I had a few beers there, man. This one standout beer was their house beer that they're calling the Motor Row IPA, their house IPA.
Uh-huh.
They're going to rename that to Broad Shoulders to pay tribute to the old name.
Okay.
Right.
That makes sense. So yeah. They can also get that SEO and make sure it like trails back to them. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But first and foremost, they're a lager house, you know, so they got like 4 or 5 lagers on. Middlebrow brews there.
Okay.
So actually, one of my favorite lagers there was the Middlebrow one. It was just like full of like these nice, spicy, aromatic, like German hops, like old school, like Saaz or something.
Okay.
It was a really good beer, like light body, really nice. And yeah, we just hung out with them for Easter, so. That was fun. It was fun to get caught up with them because, you know, they won an award from the city because the building is actually it's a historic building, and then they revamped it completely. They're LEED Gold certified, and then they won an award because they revamped the inside of the building on all 3 floors, but they kept the original exterior.
Okay.
And, you know, they told this crazy story about how these, you know, the parade would go down Michigan Avenue, and you know, these companies were in a hurry to fix up their exteriors.
Yeah.
So the exterior to that building was almost like a fake exterior. Like they have this, you can't like put any signage up on the exterior. And in fact, when they were revamping the place, once they discovered that it wasn't really like, you know.
Real.
It wasn't real and it could fall down any time, that they evacuated the place to, you know, to fix it. Right?
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
So. Yeah, that's a good place. I think they do live music on Thursdays. They have a loft level, they have a second level bar, and then they have a tap room on the first level.
Okay.
And if you haven't been, I would say they got some of my favorite beers with the Fleetwood Black, which was a black IPA, and their house beer, the Motor Row IPA.
Nice, okay.
Yeah, and then everything else is like lagers, like clean, simple drinking lagers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, that's a pretty good weekend.
Whew.
Made it over to 2 great stops. I don't think I made it to anything that weekend. I did like an early Easter with the family. We weren't drinking anything like that crazy. My uncle had some Noon Whistle stuff. He was digging them.
Oh, right on. Some of the what is it? The gummy series?
I don't think he had the gummy series. I think he just had one of their like normal, ones you kind of check out. So
people love their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
People. I haven't had their sours, but people put their sour beers right on
par. No, this was, one of their IPAs or something like that.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think I talked about a lot of the little stops I made on the previous episode, like drinking that Shamrock Shake from Goose and Yeah.
Where does that rank?
Shamrock Stout.
It's a Bourbon County base.
Yeah.
Where does it rank in the variants for you that you've had? So, because we had them all when we interviewed Jaron Jankowski.
I would say in the upper level.
What's better than the Shamrock Shake, I guess, is my question.
Was it the banana one?
Prop.
Yeah, Prop. Yeah. And then what was the other one this year that I...
Northwoods. You really I really dug Northwoods.
Yeah, so Northwoods it's probably... Nice. And then maybe Reserve, and then maybe the Shamrock Stout.
Okay.
I was surprised, like I said, I think on that previous episode, and I talked about it, it wasn't sold out. It wasn't gone. Like, has the demand or, like, the hype that this exists kind of faded away? Because they had to have gone through a lot of it on St. Patrick's Day.
Right.
Which, you know, being a week later, a week and a half later, and it was still on, that was surprising.
Man, and I think it speaks to the climate in craft beer right now. A lot of people are putting out a lot of killer adjunct stouts.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just where we are, I guess, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, that and everybody's... People who are drinking those kind of beers probably stay at home on St. Patty's Day, right? Like, right? Because that's a St. Patty's Day thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That like, beer. And...
Yeah. And then people who, like, drink those kind of beers probably aren't the same kind of people that go down to the river and, like, really just...
Right. They're not the drinking green beer crew.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
But maybe they are now because it's AB product. So.
Maybe.
They could probably come out with a green stout or something.
If they came out with a green IPA, I might try.
Yeah.
I might. Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I don't have any new beer stops to report. I feel like I'm forgetting something. I know we post a lot of photos on our Instagram page.
Because you were putting in work that week.
That week, yeah.
I was like, man, look at Brad Chmielewski. He's all over town. This is great.
But, yeah, I think keeping up with our Instagram is probably the best place to kind of see where we're at.
That's true. I think that's the most fun for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've been putting up a bunch of stories, too, usually when we just hit up a beer spot or dive in somewhere that maybe I don't get a good photo or maybe it's a place we've been to before or not a brewery or something. Maybe it's just like, yeah. Oh, we're stopping at whatever place this is for a beer.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of places that aren't breweries, we ended up at the Beet Kitchen as our bar of the week. Prior to Dusix.
Yeah, so we put that little segment out on Anchor.
Yeah.
Tweeted it out as well. We'll work on the quality. We'll get this figured out. I think we'll figure it out sooner, but we're going to try to do bar series every week or every couple weeks.
Yeah.
Stop by a bar in the neighborhood here and slowly branch out.
Yeah, there's so many cool spots to sit down and have a pint
mm-hmm.
that, you know, yeah, it's important, I think, to just kind of, like, revisit them. Or just really, like, even with one of the cool parts about Beet Kitchen is that, you know, she's asking us what we do for a living, and then she goes into, you know, she riffs on, like, all the places around here that she would go to.
Right, yeah.
You know, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, Beet Kitchen.
But, yeah, check out that little audio thing. Beet Kitchen's a great spot here on Belmont. They have music. They got comedy. They have $3 can nights or beer nights every night.
Yeah, and they're doing, they have a live music venue with, I think, like 500 people that they can hold every week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of those low-key, off-the-grid kind of spots. You know, we talk about Dusix. We talk about, what's that Schlitz bar that's further down on Belmont? I'm getting old, man. It's an old Schlitz bar, but now it's a, they do bowling. Fuck, what's the name of this place? God damn it, bro.
I don't know.
Oh, but anyway, yeah, it's going to come to me, like, towards the end.
Yeah.
But that other layer, that Lincoln Hall, Shubas.
Shubas, yeah.
Lincoln Hall, Shubas, Beet Kitchen, Dusix layer of live events.
Uh-huh.
You know, everybody knows about, like, fucking House of Blues, right?
Yeah, but Beet Kitchen always has interesting bands, low-key, like, smaller bands, yeah. Filling out that local scene a little bit.
Yeah, it's nice. Nice.
So, yeah, keep a lookout on our Twitter for those, that's or, you know, subscribe on Anchor. I don't know how, if you can subscribe or if they're there. We're still getting the hang of it. We're trying different platforms. Check it out. It's a little one-off series we'll be kicking out. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, before we dive into these events, what was the best thing you drank this week? Do you have a standout beer?
Man, I tell you, I always, one of my favorite crews to go hunt every week is the St. Arant crew. They brew out a microphone.
Okay.
And it's the same, like, 765 bottles. And I got a couple beers from them. One was Royal Bogan. And the other one was Collier, which was like an imperial stout with roasted peanuts and cacao nibs. And it was a dead ringer for like a Reese's peanut butter cup. Like it was.
Oh, really?
It was like it had no business being as good as it was. Like it was thick and it kind of coated your tongue, but then, man, it had all these moves that were just like, okay, here's some chocolate, here's some peanut butter, you're done.
Oh, like, man,
it was nice.
That's pretty awesome.
It was really nice. I was like, why is this so good? Like, I don't want this to be this good.
What's the name of it again?
It's called Collier.
Collier.
Yeah, Caullier.
Okay.
The only thing I saw was a reference to some Spanish novel online. Like, I have no idea what that means.
Man.
But it was great, man. It was really good beer. Like, yeah.
Interesting. I think the best thing I drink, I got to have a little taste of that, or did a little taster, went out to the Bowmanville Half Acre,
yeah,
and they had that quadruple IPA.
The Heroic Dose?
Yeah, the Heroic Dose.
With Tired Hands in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
I was curious about that. It's a quadruple IPA.
Yeah, what is it? Like, it's like 13% or something. So I knew, I think another buddy of mine, he got like the flight and added that to the flight. I was like, I was driving. So mm-hmm. I was like, I do not need this. I think I ended up with like a tuna or something. Yeah. Something pretty like standard that they had, but that beer was crazy.
Man.
Quadruple IPA. That's when you pass triple on anything, like when you're tripling something, you're like, this is a triple IPA. It's like, fuck you.
Right.
But when you quadruple, it's like, come on, what's next? You can't, is it like, no, what's after quadruple? Well, the sixth.
Quintuple?
Quintuple it. Yeah, we're going to have a quintuple IPA. It's like, how many hops are in here? Just give me the cup of hops. I will then put water in it.
And then, like, you're talking like 13-14%. It starts to taste like, you know, like brandy or like port wine or
right,
some shit.
But that's
that
why
point.
I think I like this one so much because it didn't taste like that. It still tastes like an IPA. Like, Half Acre, amazing at what they do.
Dude, I tell you, man. they explore the range on IPA flavors, I think, more than any other crew locally,
mm-hmm.
you know, and man, yeah, because I was drinking, I had it gone away, like, you know, maybe like an hour ago.
Okay.
And I'm like, man, this is totally different from, you know, like from Navajo, it's totally different from Daisy Cutter, Capra,
mm-hmm.
you know, all same ABV, but just like really different flavor profiles.
Yeah.
And they're kind of hanging their hat on that, which, you know, I really dig. And then, like you said, you were talking about like tuna or even like their, I forget the name of their lager, their original lager that they put out in cans, but
Gossamer?
No, that's the
I loved Gossamer.
Gossamer, yeah. Recipes Gossamer. But yeah, even their smaller beers, they got this way of putting like big flavors. Kind of like what we're drinking.
Lager Town?
Yeah.
That one?
Big flavors, small ABV too.
Yeah.
You know? They know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It's nice.
Yeah, I think a beer like the Sketchbook one and like some of those tunas and those Half Acre beers, they like ease you into the summer where you're like, all right, I think I'm done with spring. I'm not quite ready for like those crushable pale ales mm-hmm. and lagers. I want some more flavor, spring, but big body.
Yeah, so, yeah. So I get excited about crews that do big body, big flavor, low ABV.
Yeah.
Those can be nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, so, all right, that wraps up everything we did and drank. So now, what's on the calendar? What's coming up this week or people should be checking out, maybe getting tickets for?
Right,
well,
right on.
We got Stout Fest.
Fuck, the return of Goose Island Stout Fest at Clybourne. So this is this event took off last year, right? And then this year, it's a fundraiser for the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild. But then Stout Fest, the winner of the party gets this massive trophy that looks like a fermenter tank that they made 2 years ago. This was the Brewer's Eve party, not Brewer's Eve. This was the St. Patrick's Day. This
party.
Was the St. Patrick's Day party growing up, but then they pushed it back a little bit.
Growing up,
yeah. everything surrounded around like when the website started and when I started drinking beer.
Okay,
right? Like,
back in my wee toddler years.
This has a tight list, man. It's about 25 breweries.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get to see some crews like Lil Beaver, who I've never heard of. as well as new guys like Open Outcry. And then, of course, some of your mainstays like Microphone, Pipeworks, Buckle Down, Spiteful, etc. And then Goose Island really brings the pain, I think, when it comes to stouts, obviously.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to be a good party. This is on the 8th.
Sunday, the 8th.
This is on Sunday.
Then also that day,
man,
is Firkenfest.
Brad, what are we doing, man? You know, like
we are going to both. We are going.
Talking about, Brad. That's what
we're going to be champions. We're also going to. I'm going to bring the camera. We're going to film this whole thing.
Great.
We'll put a little montage together, and we'll kick it out.
I love it, man.
Firken Stout Day, whatever I title it.
Is going to be Firkenfest is at River North, not Emporium headquarters. So that is all Firkins, 40 of them. They're going to rare beer giveaway. That's like a $40 ticket. That's a proper Sunday right there. But yeah.
I don't know the times of both of these off my top of my head. They both start at noon. So I'm feeling like we start Firkenfest.
Really? I thought you'd go the other way.
Nah.
Okay.
Start Firkenfest.
Okay.
Then go to Stoutfest. Because Stoutfest, there's less... You'll get in less trouble, maybe, at Stoutfest. There's less beers.
Brazzy, brake pedal. I would be the gas pedal. I would say the other way, but I'm down for this one.
Most people, anyone who's listening or watching, you're not going to do both. You're going to pick one.
Right.
You're going to go and go hard at one. But Firken beers,
right?
They're good and interesting at some point. You're kind of spent on it, right?
Yeah, and I think, like, to be honest, like, if we're gonna appreciate these Firkins for what they are, we should probably have them up front.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna go to Stoutfest and land at this other one at 2 p.m. and be like,
right, many Firkins often have flavors like curry and weird peppers, so your palate's gonna be wrecked. So then you can come to Stoutfest that are bigger, bolder flavors that are going to. You're going to taste. You're going to be able to, like, feel them out a little bit.
That's a good point.
That's my thought. If you're like us and you're going to do both, start Firkenfest.
It makes sense. Now that we've discussed it in full, it makes total sense. Yeah. So those are both this weekend. Those are the two biggest parties this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a bummer that they're both on the same day. But
yeah, it's fucked up.
Sometimes it just happens, right? You can't plan for that. They're two different organizations. They don't know what's happening somewhere else. And Stoutfest keeps getting moved around. So this one's on Clybourne or Guild or whatever you want to say.
Right. Cool. So, but yeah, those are the two big fests this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we are getting more word about Illinois Craft Beer Week.
Yes. So the good folks over at the Hop Review announced their Ultra Fest is going to be on May 19th, which is Thursday. Which used to be the date of the closing ceremony. Ever since I've been attending Craft Beer Week locally, Thursday was always a kickoff for that day. But now it's going to be Friday, the 20th, which is the day before Dark Lord Day on Saturday.
And so I guess first off, they're ultra fresh. It's an event where the beers are brewed.
Kegged or bottled, they're packaged within 5 days of the event.
5 days, okay.
Yeah, so it's like a uber local showcase of uber fresh beer.
Okay.
Yeah, I hate the word uber. I'm like hyper. Hyper local celebration of fresh beer.
Okay. We should get those guys on, get them to come over here, talk about Ultra Fresh, talk about what they're doing.
Yeah.
We mentioned the Hop Review. We know a lot of people who probably listen to us also check out the Hop Review. So let's get on. Let's do a collaboration.
I'm down with that. Yeah. And then, like, they can kind of walk us through, because this is the at least the second year there.
Possibly the third.
Maybe even the third. So they can, you know, maybe talk about, you know, the past 2 years and some of their favorite beers. I tell you, one of mine was Stay Lit. It was the Forbidden Root, the Floyd's Haze collabo last year. Kind of blew away everything else for me.
Nice.
That was nice. Yeah. And it's a full on block party, which I like about that thing.
So they're kind of pre Illinois Craft Beer Week.
They're here to kick off.
So that's the true kickoff.
ICBW.
Yeah. Okay. If you want to really like marry this into what a 11 or 12 day event, whatever it is now. Start it off with Ultra Fresh. Get tickets. Those are for sale now.
Well, they announced it now.
Oh, they announced
it. That'll be the date.
Okay.
Which is kind of a surprise. I think they're kind of saying, hey, listen, we know that that Thursday is special because that was always the launch. So we're just gonna take the reins.
We're gonna keep it special.
We're gonna keep it special for you. So cheers to them, man.
Then Friday is Buck Beer Under Glass.
Yeah, so that'd be Friday the 20th.
May 20th. Tickets are now for sale there, and you pick up tickets. I believe they haven't sold out. They didn't sell out last year, so I can't imagine that they're gonna sell out this year unless some crazy thing happens.
It's an interesting party. It's 3 hours, not the 4 hours that most festivals are.
Right. So. So there's been a, you said there's been a little bit of talk on that.
There was an interesting thread on the listserv, the local beer society listserv about, you know, some of the things that they feel should be corrected, you know. And these are two nonprofits talking about each other.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I mean, when you go from 3 hours to 4 hours, you know, it's kind of tough because that party is so massive that it often, if you didn't get a VIP ticket, it often takes you, you know, maybe more than a half hour, maybe 40 minutes to actually just, like, get into the party.
Right. Especially if you showed up late or after work or you're just trying to get there. It's far, man. Garfield Park is far.
And it's really the only party, like, big party, the only party on the west side, the only party where we go that far west for a festival.
Well, Dodgeball Day.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday Fun Day.
Oh, Sunday Fun Day. Yeah. So you're talking Sunday Fun Day and that party.
Yeah.
Oh, the two biggest parties out that way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just kind of a difficult thing. Now you're talking the 2 hours of drinking, and then it's so, you know, it's a fundraiser. So it's there's quite a few people there.
Yeah.
So those were some of the concerns of the community at large, if you will, around this event. Mm-hmm. So
Goose Island should jump on this and know that it's a shorter event. Let's do something at the Barrel Warehouse, which isn't far, which some people may have issues walking there. It's not really a neighborhood.
I got issues walking from
but Garfield Park isn't necessarily a place that you want to be walking around after drinking and at night. But they are very close, the Garfield Conservatory.
That's true.
And the Goose Island Barrel Warehouse.
They might even be walking distance. They might be.
They are. But I'm just saying you might not want to walk around there. People may feel uncomfortable, but Goose Island should jump on this and have some sort of party happening at the Barrel Warehouse that Friday night.
That's true.
That would just be my thought.
They got the space for it, and then they could
they have a huge crew of people that would throw down any amount of money just to do something else in that area.
I mean, because, like, once you're all, like, you know, you got the lather going and you're feeling good and it's Thursday night or Friday night, yeah, you're looking for some post-game activities for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in a perfect world, man. All right. If we were calling the shots, that's what it would be. It'd be shuttles from Bug to the after party.
Yeah.
Because after the show, it's the after party.
Yeah. And then the next day is the after party. Because Sunday is Dark Lord Day, and that's maybe the turnoff.
Fuck, yeah.
Or Saturday. Saturday's Dark
Lord. Yeah, you're right. Friday Bug, Saturday Dark Lord Day.
And that party gets rolling. Basically, it could get rolling at that night, because I know people would show up in RVs, and who knows? I don't know what happens. I haven't been for so long. I don't know what goes down, but if you're going to Bug and you're thinking about going to Dark Lord Day, you probably checked out a little early, or you're like down in Gatorade or Pedialyte.
And then Bug's at 80 bucks for VIP, and then which gives you a proper 4 hour fest. Mm-hmm. And then Dark Lord Day is like close to 200 bucks. So you're probably looking at that and the commitment to both, and you're probably saying, I'm going to pick one.
Yeah.
And, you know, they kind of cancel each other out, which I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's an interesting strategy, I think. Changing it to make it the day before Dark Lord Day, and then changing Chicago Craft Beer Week to Illinois Craft Beer Week. It's interesting, to say the least. It is not boring over there. You know, they're making moves.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
So those are events and things that are happening here in Chicago. Any news that you've come across?
Yeah, man. We got a little bit of news. Parsons.
Yeah.
Parsons.
The chicken place.
Parsons, that chicken place.
That chicken place.
That chicken place over in, man, what is that? That's Logan.
Humble Logan.
Right on the border, yeah. Mm-hmm. They have an extra crisp golden ale that's going to be in cans. The artwork on this thing is great.
Wait, they have a beer?
They have a beer.
Have we jumped the shark here or jumped the chicken?
We're just getting started, but
when that chicken place has a beer,
We are just getting started. Revolution is
brewing it?
Is brewing that beer.
Okay.
Yeah. We talked about the hop review. Hopewell, man. Shout out to Hopewell. They have the Clover Club, which is a raspberry sour in cans. That was a collaboration with the Whistler.
And
Logan. That's going to be in cans now. It was on tap only last year.
Nice.
Yeah. While we're talking about Revolution, let's talk about the their new tap room at White Sox Park. So the Revolution Sox Social Tap Room is what it's called.
Nice.
This is a big deal because it like triples their tap space at Sox Park. But then also, this particular space that they're in was like the Miller Lite Club a year ago.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So this is the 200 level. It's located at the stairs above level 157 all summer long at White Sox Park. Man, you can go to a Revolution Tap Room.
That feeds into my theory. If Goose Island wouldn't have bought Miller Coors or Miller.
AB.
If AB hadn't wouldn't have bought it, Miller was going to buy Rev. It was setting up for that, that play.
That was the rumor. But yeah, I wouldn't rule it out, honestly.
I still wouldn't rule it out.
I wouldn't rule it out because Rev.
Or you Coors
know,
buys.
Yeah, because Rev now, Rev's in the top 50. You know, they've established their core, which is Anti-Hero. And, you know, if you know, these big crews wanted to. If Miller wanted to make a proper IPA, their argument is, like, if we make a proper IPA, there's going to be shortages across the country for everybody else because that's how much beer we make, right?
Yeah.
Like, they don't fuck around. So, but I still think that's in play.
And Rev is picking up these old Miller spots now.
Yeah, it's interesting strategy. Like I want to hear what Rev's if Rev were to do like a State of the Union or if someone sat down with Rev, I want to hear what their thought is on it because there's two, you know, you could just join, you could take your big payday and just officially join Miller who distributes you, right? And that's what led to the Goose AB thing. AB distributed Goose.
Yeah.
Right? And that led to a loan and then that led to 15% and then it led to, well, fuck it, we're buying you, right?
Yeah.
But like Rev could either go after Miller handles or they could sell to Miller.
Yeah, that's a...
You know, those are the two angles. And at this point, they're kind of like, you can distribute our beer, but we're going after your handles and we're going to stay independent.
Yeah, I don't... I wonder how the community would react to that because...
That was...
I think...
We've done this podcast from Miller Coors.
Yeah.
Those guys are great.
Oh, Lisa Zimmer is...
Lisa Zimmer's the
amazing.
Best.
Amazing, yeah.
You know? And I actually like High Life.
Yeah, we drink High Life. I was drinking some Miller Lights this past week. Maeve was like, who are you? I was thirsty.
If you're in this town and the three biggest breweries, Lagunitas, Goose Island, and then Revolution all fucking sell the big beer.
Does it lose respect for Chicago breweries on a whole?
That's whack as hell.
I don't know. That's a deep, deep drunken stoned conversation.
I'm not on board with that. Yeah. So,
but this Sox Park thing looks pretty dope.
That's huge. Yeah. And I'm excited for the good guys because, you know, the team's not very good, but we'll be down there drinking all year. And then not to mention they got the Sox Cave on the 100 level behind the bullpen where it's a beer hall that's got 75 beers in cans and in on draft.
Nice.
So they actually have better beer than Wrigley.
Okay.
Better beer and you can tailgate there. Because there ain't really shit to do after Sox games, so you kind of have to tailgate.
Right, that's
you know,
true.
You can go to Maria's, but that's like a mile and a half away.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
If it's the weekend, you could go down to the beach there. There's usually like bands playing stuff. The 31st Street or 33rd Street
Revamped,
beach.
Yeah. 31st Street Beach is all brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. I forgot about that. Oh, yeah, because you know somebody with a boat over there probably.
Yeah, so there's bands that play there on the weekends.
He's like, I have seen it. It is.
I am there.
Right on, man. Spiteful Brewing is putting out their Malevolence Chocolate Caliente Russian Imperial Stout 2018 is going on tap this weekend at Spiteful. They're next door to Half Acre Bowmanville.
Yeah. Cool. That's it?
I think that's it for news, man.
All right. Then that's going to do it for this week's episode. As we mentioned... we got one more thing.
One more thing, man. Sorry. A couple weeks ago, Green Flash, who we talk about Revolution, who were in the top 50 for Brewers Association producers, craft beer producers. That was this year. Last year, Green Flash was in that list. Green Flash, based in California, announced that they're closing or liquidating their Virginia facility.
Right.
And then this week announced that they're foreclosing everything.
Man, Green Flash?
Green Flash.
That's a bummer, man. They're like I'm Racer 5 is Beer Republic, but their beers in general often were like $5 bombers. Like, I remember first drinking, they had amazing sour, a couple beers. Oh, that's hard.
Yeah, man. They Comerica Bank is the largest shareholder for Green Flash. Comerica Bank has foreclosed on all of Green Flash's loans, saying that they have outstanding debt and poor business health.
Poor business health.
Man, it's hardcore, man.
Yikes.
It's real out here. So you're talking about a brewery that was in the top 50 a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where they expanded to all 50 states as well.
Yeah.
And they make good beer.
They do make good beer.
I think guys like Uinta and Green Flash, although their logos and their marketing campaigns are just okay, I think their beer was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Man, they're it looks like they're closing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because it's probably that wine and spirit industry, you know? They just eating away at all of those beer drinkers.
Cider, man. Cider's catching up, man. So, but yeah. So, that's it for news. That sucks.
Right.
Yeah.
So, that's going to do it for this episode. Like I said, we mentioned at the top of the show, we have two guest episodes coming up with Around the Bend and Forbidden Root, so we won't be here in the office recording, so you won't hear about our drinking adventures for a few weeks, but we'll be back.
Right on.
Nick, where can people find you when we're not here?
For sure, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, at B-Rad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter, at Chicago Beer Pass. Instagram, I mentioned, Chicago Beer Pass. Facebook, Chicago Beer Pass. We're always posting events, other photos that aren't Instagram quality over there. And yeah, website chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are posted there. Links to the iTunes, Stitcher, the YouTube version as well. And yeah, stay tuned for our beer or our bar reviews. Keep a lookout for those. Take care.
Cheers.